It's been an awesome service so far, at least I've experienced it that way. So, is there an echo? Do you hear an echo? What am I doing wrong? Nothing? Okay. This morning, we are on the road to restoration, but I really like what Marcia said at the end. Who are you and do you know? Those are lingering questions. And you may say, what in the world does that have to do with restoration? But I want to pose another question, and that is, have you ever tried to write your own obituary? I remember being in a classroom setting years ago when I was assigned that task. I was absolutely lost. How do you even start doing that? Now today, you can look on the internet and they tell you, they give you step-by-step directions. You include dates of birth, dates of death, family members, and then later you get to a part that's called optional. And that optional means, do you want to include major life events, achievements, and awards? Well, then I thought, how would I describe those things about myself? How would you describe your major achievements, your awards? How would you want others to describe them? Would you focus on your passions and your values? Or would you focus on your accomplishments? For some of you, that may be one and the same, but for others, it might be two different things. When we think about such things, ultimately, we have to think about our self-identity. Who are you, and do you know? Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and going through this traditional theme for this day. So we will also be looking at restoration. I will be looking very briefly at three of the lectionary texts. We talk about self-identity and how that relates to restoration. The first text I will look at is the one that very different, Psalm 126. This psalm is one of 15 ascent psalms that are recorded in the Book of Psalms, and they are thought to be have been sung by pilgrims as they traveled to Jerusalem to worship. They may have sung them along the way. They may have sung them more specifically as they climbed Mount Zion, or even as they walked the steps of the temple. While each ascent psalm is unique, they have two common concerns. One is protection, and the other one is blessing. The blessing part and the confession both show us their dependence on the Lord for the salvation and support of their lives, both in the past and for the future. You may or may not know, and I am one of three people taking transformational prayer ministry training. We also talk about it as TPM. Last week, in our session, I had an aha experience, and my apologies to Diana and Louie for repeating this. But I realized that confession is not limited to a detail in the shortcomings and failures. Confession is also a personal affirmation of truth. Well, I've known this in a personal way when it's from the context, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life. It's sometime when it was brand new to me, and it also brought a new meaning to Psalm 126. Consider the first verse. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we are like those who dreamed. Now, this is a retelling of a historical account, but more importantly, it is a confession of God's acts. It leaves no doubt about who is the actor in this restoration. That kind of dependence is not very popular in today's culture, independence and self-sufficiency are highly valued. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Perhaps a more accurate translation of this verse for today's mindset would be, when we, with the Lord's help, restored the fortunes of Zion, we were energized and confident in our accomplishments for God's kingdom. It is healthy to have a self-concept, a positive self-concept, but it is also healthy to know the difference between a positive self-concept and an egocentric worldview. God's restoration invitation comes on any of us. It is only as we acknowledge our dependence on God that we can learn who we are. Knowing who you are is the reference related to your acknowledgement of your dependence on God. The second text is from Luke 1:46-5, and it is what we often know as the Magnificat or Mary's song. And I would say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew who she was. Now, part of my information from this, I must give credit to a YouTube from a religion teacher. Since this hasn't been read, I'm going to read it in sections. The first section goes like that. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. These words proclaim and magnify God's greatness and blessing. Mary's song is also Mary's confession. Second part of the next three verses, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Saint Mary is describing the great reversal of God's mercies. Justice has been a common theme for us in recent conversations, politically and in our communities. This last week, the webinar with Reverend Taylor talked about justice and about reversal and about the things we need to do for restoration. It is each of our natural inclination to seek power, to seek greatness. But this model does not call for that. This model calls for humility. We want to know who you are. We need to look with humility. Mercy is much greater than powerful fame. And we have to ask, do our lives support this truth? And going back to the obituary, do you want your obituary to highlight your acts of mercy or your acts of power? And then to the last part of this scripture, he has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. It is all about a servant's heart. Israel and leaders down through history, including Mary, described themselves as servants, people in service to God, God's servants. When you reflect on who you are, do you see a servant's heart? Or even more broadly, can you observe servant hearts in our Huntington community? In review, Psalm 126 identifies knowing who you are by recognizing your dependence on God. From this section, we recognize that who we are depends or is clarified by our response to God's interaction. I've identified three ways. The first one is magnifying the Lord, is that you confessing the Lord. The one is choosing mercy rather than pride. And the last one is having a servant's heart. On to the third scripture, which is from John, and it's the one that Martha did so well for us, so I won't be reading it. But John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew it was not all about him. When pressed by the priests and Levites from Jerusalem about his identity, he, and this is a quote, did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." He redirected the audience from himself to the Messiah, the one who is yet to come. "This one who comes after me is one whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." While John knew he was not the Messiah, he also knew his role in the bringing of the good news. He was the bearer of the good news. He was the voice calling for preparation. He was the voice calling and bringing the good news of salvation and restoration. For John to proclaim the good news, he had to accept the good news for himself. I often think about that. It's easy for me to think about who needs God's good news, who needs to hear the gospel, and in that fervor, almost forget that the gospel is for me. The gospel is for each of us, and we need daily restoration. Knowing who you are is related to recognizing our ownership to believe the destination. Now another reference back to 2 p.m. last week. The big word was positioning. Positioning, positioning, positioning. We are often blind to our own need for restoration. We want to speak straight with the Spirit on our own. We are not asked to Spirit. Or fruits of the Spirit, rather, they are asked to be bearers of the fruit that God produces. And that any fruit that we attempt to produce on our own is nothing more than a fraud. Instead, it is necessary for us to position ourselves before God so that God can produce the fruit through us. Our Advent theme this year has a road or journey motif, as many already mentioned. A motif of continuing in our walk of discipleship and in learnings. We often would like to think of having reached our destination, but that is not yet. Knowing who we are is a work of continual restoration. It requires vigilance. It requires vigilance of our position and interaction with God, our Creator. The image of furniture refinishing restoration comes to mind. A new piece of furniture is not immune to needing dusting, polishing, and over time, a major restoration. It is to show its true beauty, and we are very much like that. In our culture, self-sufficiency is an easy step to think that we can restore ourselves, but that is God's work. Our work is to be available for restoration. Israel's pilgrims on their way to the temple to worship, Mary and Magnificat, and John the Baptist in his wilderness ministry all knew who they were. They knew God and God's power, God's mercy, and God's methods of salvation and restoration. It is much easier to evaluate who we are by our own standards or even in our own intent, by our own intent, rather than our biblical examples and scriptures. So, in closing, I'd like to review these three pericopes and summarize them, and also challenge us to further evaluate who we are by paying attention to the following areas. Firstly, our dependence on God, past, present, and future, as identified by the pilgrims. The second focus of attention is our response, God's intention, and interaction with us, as identified by Mary. Confessing God's power, confessing God's mercy, and confessing our servanthood to God. And the third one and last one is our recognition of need for God's restoration as identified by John the Baptist. John was very clear that he was not the Messiah. Rather, he was the bearer of the good news for everyone, including himself. Only in prayer. Omnipotent and sovereign God, we thank you for being God, our God. This morning we recognize that you have a purpose and a design for each of us, a design for who we are. Help us to remember that we are the recipients, not the doers, of restoration. Thank you for your patience and mercy as we practice restoration journey. For it is in the name of Jesus, your Son, that we pray. Amen.